been talking about this for weeks. I thought I had you convinced, but obviously not. So I guess it's a good thing we're going to talk about this tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, we spent quite a bit of time this morning talking about some of these things and kind of danced all around this chapter, and I want to take the time to go through it tonight. But marriage is a wonderful thing. It is a blessing from God. And the Bible has a lot to say, like I mentioned this morning. It has a lot to say about love. It has a lot to say about marriage. You think about it, really, the Bible starts off kind of with marriage, doesn't it? Amen. I mean, God created man, and then he saw man was alone. And so on that sixth day, he made a wife for Adam. He did all that in the very, very beginning. And so love and marriage are all part of that. And then we get to be part of something incredible that was a mystery throughout the Old Testament and wasn't revealed until the New Covenant, and that is the church. And Ephesians chapter 5 is all about love. It has a lot to say about marriage, but it's really just using marriage as a picture of the church. And so we see some of the most important themes in Scripture in this chapter, and so we're going to take a little time to go through it tonight. I'm going to read a lot of Scripture tonight and let the Bible speak for itself. I will obviously have a little preaching to go along with it, but you can remain seated. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to read the text tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you. We thank you for the gift of marriage. Thank you for every man here you've blessed with a wife, and every wife you've blessed with a husband. And Father, we thank you for children and for grandchildren, the life that you've given. And Lord, it's a sad world in which we live, where so many do not see family as a blessing. They don't see marriage as a gift. They don't see children as precious and life as valuable. But God, we know that marriage is a blessing. We know that children are a gift from you. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to love one another. We pray that you would bless the marriages that are in this church, that they will last throughout life. And we pray that they will only be separated in death. And I pray, dear God, that you would just help this church and the marriages, the families in this church, to be pictures of your sacred union between yourself and the church. Please bless and help now, we pray. Give understanding as we read your scriptures tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can remain seated, but let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning at verse 1. But be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I know that was a long reading, but so many times we just take a little snippet out and try to expound on that, and that's good, but it's really important for us to get things in context. It's really important for us to get the whole thing, and so I wanted to make sure we take that entire chapter together as we consider love, marriage, and the church tonight. And really, the vast majority of this chapter, verses 1 all the way down to verse 21, really have to do with what he says in the beginning. Look back at verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. You see, when it comes to anything in our lives as Christians, it all goes back to Christ and his great love wherewith he loved us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even though I deserve the wrath of God to be poured out on me, I deserve to be separated from God forever, I deserve to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, he loved me in spite of my sin. And because of that love, I ought to walk in love. And a lot of people in Christianity today like the parts about the love and the grace of God, and we like to claim the liberty that we have. But I want you to understand tonight, walking in love, walking in grace, walking in liberty does not mean that we get to walk in sin. We have been given liberty, but don't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to walk in truth. We need to walk in holiness. Because of his love, it's only reasonable that our lives would be lived out for his glory. Amen. So that means some things are going to have to change. He lists a lot of things here. We'll not take the time to dig into each thing, but he mentions fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking and jesting, unfruitful works of darkness, being unwise and being drunk. All of those things he packages up and he says, listen, this is who you used to be. And don't walk in that darkness anymore. Listen, if a man used to be addicted to pornography and he gets saved, he needs to leave that stuff alone. He needs to put it away. All of those fornication, that's any sexual sin, that's everything under the umbrella. That's any kind of intimacy outside of marriage. That includes homosexuality, it includes adultery, it includes looking at pornography. All of those things fall under that umbrella of fornication. He says, put that away from you. He says, don't let it be named once among you. As a matter of fact, he says, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Amen. Listen, we don't even want to talk about it. That's how wicked it is. We ought to hate it. And he says, you need to put that stuff away and you need to walk in love. You stop walking in darkness and start walking as children of light. He goes to the positive. Put off the old man, put on the new man. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit, goodness and righteousness and truth. Listen, there is a law of replacement in Scripture. Where you put off the old man, you must put on the new man. I've given you examples so many times of music because most of you have grown up listening to music that you ought not listen to. Anybody agree with that? Some of you may not even know it yet. Some of you still may be listening to music you ought not be listening to. When you get to a place where you're convicted about that, you're going to put off that stuff. You say, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. In my day, we had these things called CDs. We didn't have downloads back then until later. And then it was downloads that were mostly illegal on something called Napster. God bless you, 90s people that know what I'm talking about. I remember when I got convicted about the music I was listening to, I took those CDs and I told you before, I'd invested a lot of money into them. And my first thought was, if I can't listen to it anymore, I can sell them to somebody else. That was my first thought. I mean, that's pretty practical. But then I thought, well, you big dummy, if it's not good for you to listen to, it's not good for somebody else to listen to. So I took them and I broke them and I threw them in the trash. Listen, when we get rid of that, we get rid of that negative thing, that dark thing, then we've got to replace it with something good, with something light. And so we put off the old man, we've got to put on the new man. You stop listening to the filthy music, start listening to Christ-honoring music. You stop filling your time with looking at filthy things on the internet, then start filling your mind with the Word of God. So we put off those works of darkness, we put on the fruit of the Spirit, we walk in goodness and righteousness and truth. And friends, that all comes from the Word of God. Testing or proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. See, when you get saved and you start walking in love, there's a new standard by which you measure everything. No longer is it what do you think is right, but what does God say is right? Amen. No longer is it what's acceptable to your peers, what do your friends think, but now it's what does God say? And we've got to get to that place, because I promise you, you can find somebody out there that thinks almost anything is acceptable. Amen. We live in a world today where people want us to be accepting of gay marriage. They want us to not just not go and say anything against it, but they want us to say it's okay. LGBTQ question mark, whatever other letters they put with it. They want us to embrace that. And I'm telling you, friends, we can't embrace that and embrace the Word of God. Amen. We can't do that. We don't test it by what culture says is right. We test it by what God says is acceptable. Amen. 20 years ago, I went through a series of lessons called Faith Bible Institute. It was a 3-year college level course where you go through every verse of the Bible over a 3-year period. It was a great study. It was very, very beneficial to me. And in that, he talked about, this was 20 years ago, he talked about what was coming with gay marriage. And he said right on the heels of that will be pedophilia. And even back then, there was an organization called the Man Love Boy Association. And right now in the United States of America, they are petitioning for the right for grown men to marry young boys. Underage children. Now you shake your head in disgust. Why? Because there are people in our country today that think that's acceptable. Amen. It's disgusting. Amen. It's filthy. And it's sin. And I know it's sin because God says so. You see, God's word is unchanging. I promise you, if our nation continues the way it's going in 20 years, that'll be the case. It'll be legal. And the world, the culture will say that you're a bigot because you think it's wrong for a man to marry a boy. But I'm telling you that God is unchanging. And we look to God proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, I've given you some extreme examples, but you need to understand that it applies to you in your daily life. There are things that you think are okay because it's what you've always done and the way it's always been, but you need to test that by the Word of God. Doesn't matter if that's the way it's always been in your family. What matters is what does God say? Amen. That's how we walk in love. We walk in the truth. You can't separate love from the truth. Reprove the works of darkness. It's a shame even to speak of those things. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He tells us to walk in love. He tells us to walk as children of light. He tells us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We need to be careful in the decisions we make in this life. Amen. Our walk is based on the decisions we make day by day. Every little decision we make adds up to be what our life is. And so we need to walk wisely. Wisdom comes from the Lord. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Friends, we don't have a lot of time. if you live to be 100, it'll be over that fast. You do realize that it's the end of May. We're almost halfway through 2019. And that shocks me. It seems to get faster and faster. I'll be 40 in June. My dad's 70 years old. In my mind, I'm about 20-something. In my mind, my dad's in his 40s still. But that's not reality. The reality is we need to redeem the time. We need to take advantage of the time we have. I have today to live for Christ. I may never have tomorrow. Yesterday is gone. Today is all I have. And so I better redeem the time. We live in evil days. We better be faithful to Christ. We need to seek to understand what the will of the Lord is. We've got to be filled with the Spirit. And when we're filled with the Spirit, look at what it does. It brings us to a place of worship, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're walking in the Spirit. He gives you joy. He puts a song in your heart and you have a worship in your life. It brings you to a place where you're not murmuring and complaining and griping, but you are giving thanks always for all things. No matter what happens in your life, you have a reason to give thanks. Amen. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Verse 22, he gives us all of this about walking in love, and then he goes on to marriage in verse 22. Now, verse 21 is the segue. It brings us from this walk to specifically about marriage, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wives are supposed to be submissive to their husbands. In the same way, men and women, everyone in the church were to be submissive one to another. Everyone's supposed to esteem others better than themselves. In particular, a wife is to submit to her husband. And ladies, would you notice he says, as unto the Lord. You see, God created Adam first, and then he made Eve from Adam's side. The man is the head of the home. I know that that's not politically correct today, but I don't really care about being politically correct. I do care about being biblically correct. Amen. And God made the man first. He made the man to be the head of the home. And so a wife is to submit to her husband in the same way as unto the Lord. What does that mean? It means that you understand that you respect that authority that God has given, and you cannot submit to the Lord without being submitted to your husband. In the same way that a child cannot be disobedient to their parents and be obedient to the Lord, it doesn't work. Amen. Doesn't work. Is your husband always right? Nope. Does submitting to your husband mean you can never question any decision he makes? No. What it does mean is that you respect the position of authority that God's given him. The husband is the head. And in the same way that the church is subject to Christ, verse 24, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, a lot of guys like to puff their chest out and talk about how their wives need to submit, and they like to talk about how they're the head of the home, and I know all the jokes. The husband's the head, but the wife's the neck. She turns the head wherever she wants to, right? But I want to tell you in all seriousness tonight, men, this is an incredible responsibility. And wives, when you do not submit yourself to your husband, when you do not respect the authority that God has given him, you will answer to God for that one day. And men, you will answer for how you lead your family. You see, this isn't a joke. This is incredibly serious. And if I'm not the man that God's called me to be, I'm going to have to answer that personally, but I'm also going to have to answer for that to how it affects my wife and my children. Amen. We have an enormous amount of responsibility. So fellas, I want to tell you, you can puff your chest out if you want to, but you'd be better to just fall on your face before God. Amen. Under the weight of the responsibility that God has given you, and under the knowledge that you will be held accountable for how you lead your family. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives. How do I love her, preacher? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I've talked to so many young couples. Why do you love him? Why do you love her? Well, I love her because of the way she makes me feel. Well, I want to help you out. She's not always going to make you feel good. Your feelings are going to change. If you love someone because of the way they make you feel, you're in a bad place. You see, you ought not love your wife because of the way she makes you feel. You ought to love her because you want to give everything for her. Christ, I promise you, doesn't just love you because of the way you make him feel. You don't make him feel good most of the time. We are loved by God unconditionally. We are loved by God sacrificially. We are loved by God not based on our merits, but based on who he is. And men, you ought to love your wife in the same way that Christ loved you and he died for you. Men, we ought to be sacrificial. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how prideful some men are, how they won't give up anything. They won't compromise anything because I'm the man. This is my kingdom and I'm the king here. I mean, some fellas won't even let their wife change the channel on the television. They won't let their wife change the thermostat. I know there's a lot of wars in families over the thermostat. I'm meddling, I know. Listen, Christ died for the church. You can sweat a little bit. You can suffer through something on the Hallmark Channel. Did that land anywhere? I love those cheesy Christmas movies. Listen, I'm just trying to tell you that Christ has called us to love our wives the way that he loved us and died for us, and we don't want to give ground anywhere. Brethren, it shouldn't be that way. It ought to be sacrificial. She ought not have to nag you to death about every little thing. You ought to be looking for how to love her and serve her and sacrifice for her. Let me take a side note to let you guys know that sacrificing for your wife doesn't mean just that you go to work all the time to make money and that's how you sacrifice. Listen to me, you need to get this. Love is not spelled with dollar signs. Amen. I think one of the best ways to spell love is T-I-M-E. If you love someone, you're going to spend time with them. And we ought to give our time. Certainly men have a responsibility to work, and all of those things are true. But we need to give our lives to our wives. So shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one. What God therefore hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So he gives us some things about love, walking in love, putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Then he gives us some things about marriage. But I want you to notice what he says. I want you to notice what he says in verse 32. This is a great mystery. It's a great mystery. How God took a man and a woman who were completely separate beings and he puts them together to make them one. And we know that the scripture says in the flesh, but we also know that studying the scriptures we find out it's not just talking about the physical union between a man and a woman, but that union goes through every part of your being. There is a physical union, there is that intimacy, but there's also an emotional union and a spiritual union that happens between a husband and a wife. God makes us one all the way. And it's a mysterious thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But he did that because it pictures something even greater. He says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now he qualifies it. He says, nevertheless, I'm talking to you about Christ and the church, but let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reference her husband. All of these truths do apply directly to husbands and wives, but what he's really trying to get you to see is the church. And I want you to notice just a few things real quick. How is it that the marriage, it pictures the church? Number one, he submitted himself to the Father. You see, wives, when you submit yourself to your husband, there's multiple pictures here. And in the way that the wife submits herself to her husband, Jesus Christ, the Son, submitted to his Father's will. He didn't come to do his own will. He came to do the will of his Father. He came to do his will and to finish his work. He was willing to put himself under the authority of his Father. And there's a beautiful picture there of Christ in the church. Not only did he submit himself, but he gave himself for us. In verse 26, he says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? So that, verse 26, he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And there is a beautiful picture of that pure bride who comes before her husband and who comes to her husband. He says, this is what the church is supposed to be. I died for the church so that the church would be pure. I died for the church so that the church would be cleansed. I died for the church so that my church would be presented to myself in the last day. And listen to me, friend, one day very soon, the Lord's going to call his church up out of this world. A pure bride, glistening and white, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, washed by his word and purified. He will present the church to himself, a pure bride. And that's the picture that there ought to be in marriage. He submitted himself to the Father. He gave himself for us, and he has unified us with himself. Look at verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. This mysterious thing where God takes a man and a woman, two distinct people, and he brings them together and makes them one, is a picture of the unity that we have in Christ. Jesus prayed. He said, Father, you and I are one, and I pray that you'd make them one with me and one with us. And through Jesus Christ, through him saving us and bringing us into himself, he has unified us with himself and made us one. That's a beautiful thing. It's something I can't even begin to comprehend, but I know that it's true. He's made us one. We're members of his body. And verse 31, this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. In verse 31, he says that, but in verse 32, he says, this I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church, where we are separated from God because of our sins. We are not with him, but when he died for us and rose again and we trust in him, he brings us together and unifies us with himself. And marriage is a beautiful picture of what Christ has done for us. Love, marriage, and the church, these things are inseparable in Scripture. Tonight, we're going to have a special time to celebrate some newlyweds, but I think that every person here that ever hopes to be married, and every person here who is married, we need to strive to see the picture of the church in our marriage. And we need to strive to live in such a way that our marriage actually does picture Christ and his church. If we're not walking in love, that's not going to happen. If we continue to walk in darkness, that's not going to happen. But it can happen when we walk in love, when we walk as children of light, when we walk circumspectly, and when we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. This time we're going to prepare for a verse of invitation. So our musicians come, will you stand with me, please?